Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Hollerin, Steve Frampton, Brenda McCoy, and Bobby Marcheso. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, my name is Stephen Frampton, and you're listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, Dr. Mitchell Gibson will be joining us to talk about decoding the psyche. But before we get started, please join me by welcoming my co-hosts. Maureen, how are you this evening?
How's that? I'm doing great. I'm looking forward to your show, Steve. And I thank you for everything that you do. And I'm doing okay, thanks. And would you like me to tell you more?
Yes, please, Maureen. Tell us about your work.
My work is very important to me, and I am very well versed in tarot, and I love to say this, and Brenda, I know you like it when I do. Tarot is a symbolic record of human experience, and I do truly feel that. I think Steve, you might agree with that. And I am also I work with my co-host, my lovely co-host at PsychicAccess.com. So you can call in for a reading to get any one of us if you don't get through tonight. And also, I have much integrity. I'm very objective, and I like to help people find their way. But they have their choice to do so.
Thank you, Maureen. Well, it's wonderful to have you with us, as always.
Thank you.
Thank you for your compliments. Well, Brenda, how are you today?
Just like summer, but actually better than summer because it's not quite as hot.
Oh, I can't hear you very well, Brenda.
You can't hear me?
Mothership.
I can't hear Brenda right now, but I know that she's with us. I heard her in the background, so she'll get her sound fixed and be with us shortly. Well, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Dr. Gibson. Dr. Mitchell Gibson's one of the world's leading authorities on the interface of science, the human soul, and the frontiers of human consciousness. He's the best-selling author of Your Immortal Body of Light, Signs of Mental Illness, Signs of Psychic and Spiritual Ability, The Living Soul, and Ancient Teaching Stories. And I've read a couple of his books this week in advance of the interview, so I'm excited to ask him about them. He's delivered addresses to many of the world's largest conferences related to science and consciousness. These include the International Science and Consciousness Conference, the Sivananda Ashram Annual Symposium, International Institute of Integral Human Sciences, the SGGRRIT Conference on Advances in Electronic Medicine in Italy, and many, many more. Now, Dr. Gibson's been a consultant for Fortune 500 companies, Hollywood celebrities, professional athletes, and the AE Network, NBC, ABC, and many others. His website is www.tybro.com. That's tybro.com. Do check out his website. There's a lot of very interesting information on there. Well, Dr. Mitchell Gibson, welcome to the show. Thank you. Well, it's wonderful to have you with us. As I said in the introduction, I learned of your work when I read your book, Signs of Mental Illness, and then I ordered a copy of the second one, Signs of Spiritual and Psychic Abilities, and I was, as an astrologer, I was fascinated by everything you had to share. But I want to ask you, first of all, Dr. Gibson, to tell us a little bit about your history, because I know that you're also a psychiatrist.
That's right. I grew up in the deep rural South in the Bible Belt of the United States, and my initial upbringing was actually fairly religious, very conservative, very religious based. But I asked a lot of the wrong questions when I was a child. I asked about warfare in the Bible. I asked about the church being the sponsor for the Crusades. I didn't really understand why there would be so much bloodshed in a foundation that was essentially the spiritual center for the world. My pastors didn't like that. My mother didn't like that. But it really began a deep spiritual journey that led me to look into, a number of the world's religions. It led me to look into how the planet functions on a spiritual basis. And as luck would have it, when I was about 12 years old, a monk came to my middle school, and this was quite an event because my middle school was in a town called Ellerby, North Carolina, which is in the middle of the Deep South. So why a Buddhist monk was in the Deep South, a black school, an African-American school, I would never know. But he introduced meditation, and that changed my entire life. From that point on, I delved deeply into meditation. I studied Maharishi Mahesh Yogi and transcendental meditation and a number of different other types. And I found that if I meditated in a certain way, I could leave my body. And at first, I thought I had died because I was floating on the ceiling and I could look back and see my body. And I thought everybody could do this. And being an adolescent, the first thing I wanted to do was I wanted to go see all the pretty girls in the neighborhood. So I did. But later I found that there were more useful applications that I could have for being able to travel out of my body. And it began a lifelong journey of exploration and meditation, and it led me to medicine, and ultimately it led me to exploring the spiritual world.
Well, it's exciting to speak to somebody who's so well qualified in psychiatry, but who also is very open to metaphysics. I often find with some clients that it's difficult to distinguish the extent to which they may be experiencing some spiritual problems and distinguishing that from the potential for mental illness. So I want to ask you, Dr. Gibson, I know we're going to talk about signs of spiritual and psychic ability, but I wanted to ask a little bit about mental illness because that was the first of your books that I read. How did you discover that you could use astrology to determine a predisposition towards mental illness?
When I was in my residency, I was elected chief resident my senior year of training. And the chief resident is the person that fills out the call schedule for all the other residents in the hospital in that area. Well, everybody, I quickly noticed that everybody wanted to avoid being on call anywhere near the full moon. And it was such a big deal that they would try to bribe you so they wouldn't be on call the day before, the day over, the day after the full moon. And it was really funny to see doctors, well-educated people from Harvard, Stanford, Yale, people like that, places like that, say, oh, God, Mitch, don't put me on call anywhere near there. And so it really raised my curiosity level. What the heck is going on with the full moon? And I did some research. Actually, admissions to the hospital went up on the full moon. The severity of suicide attempts was greater on the full moon. Also, there were more calls to the ER on the full moon. So you just had a busier time when you're on call, if you're on call around that time. And so when I got into private practice, I extended my search into this, into whether or not, well, is it just a full moon effect, or is there an effect associated with the time that you're born and the risk for having mental illness? Well, nobody had ever done that research before. And it was something, there was nothing written about it, basically, except that there was a full moon effect and that there was a little bit of research done on schizophrenia and the season a person was born, but nobody had ever looked at the five major diagnoses of mental illness and astrological signs associated with them. And so in completing that work, I went over 400 different patients' charts. And I looked over hundreds of people from different time periods. And in doing that, I found that you really couldn't see the patterns in traditional astrology. You had to look into right ascension, declination astrology to see the patterns. And essentially, you had to look at the three-dimensional patterns of how the planets move. Well, when you did that, the patterns became very apparent. And that's how the book came to be. And I won a number of awards for that research. And it's something that I still use to this day. Every time I have a client, I will refer back to my astrology program to help read them.
It's fascinating. And I know that most astrologers, when they look at the natal chart, they're looking in effect at the distance between the planets in terms of longitude. And so I always picture that natal chart as a circle, but then you spoke of declination. So the where the planet is actually located in terms of the equator. And so really understanding a person's soul or their psyche through astrology is more like looking at a cylinder than looking at a circle.
Actually, I see it more as a sphere.
Okay.
So that there is the, of course, the longitudinal aspects of the trines and sextiles, etc. But there's also eclipses. There are also triangles. There are combinations of planetary movements that work in three dimensions as well as two dimensions. When you add that third dimensional component, that's when you can see the patterns of mental illness and also psychic ability.
Well, and we're going to talk about it much more. It's so interesting. I wanted to ask you a question about eclipses, actually, because I was doing some work looking at mass murderers and serial killers. And I noticed in the case of serial killers that they were often born under a Sun-Venus eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
Have you discovered that? And can you explain why that might be? Because it seems almost counterintuitive.
The first, ironically that you would ask that question, the first research that I did on mental illness was actually done with mass murders and serial killers. And I went back until the 1500s, until the 21st century, looking at mass murders and serial killers and their astrological combinations of signs. Lois Rodden did a book on mass murders, serial killers, rapists, and criminals. And she did probably the seminal work on that type of personality. And I met with her before she passed and talked with her about her research. And when I did that, I went over probably three-fourths of the people in that book. And the thing that I found to be most common, and I put it through the work, the research that I had, is I found that there were changes in the planet Pluto and the planet Neptune in association with Mars and killing. I did see the initial changes with the Sun and Venus, but as I looked deeper, I saw that Mars and Pluto and Neptune, especially Neptune and Mars, had more changes than the initial Sun-Venus.
And I often think to myself, when I analyze these charts, these people, and you can see through the natal astrology, particularly when you look at the declinations, you can see the complexity and the potential for problems. But how do we explain that particular person goes down the path of severe crime as opposed to other people that were born around the same time?
Well, there's a concept of nature versus nurture. You can have a person, and you can apply this also to psychic ability as well and mental illness. You can have two people that have very similar charts and proclivities towards certain problems. But if those people are raised in environments that are more nurturing, that parents are better parents or better environments, those tendencies tend not to come out as much. But when you look at the people that have the signs and then have the childhood abuse and childhood difficulties that would make this more likely that the signs would come out, then you start seeing the strength of the predictive value of the charts. So that, for instance, if you look at a person like Gary Heidnik, Gary Heidnik had an awful childhood, and he's one of the people that they make horror movies about. And when he was a very young kid, his mother killed his pet dog in front of him with an axe. And it's that kind of thing that became part of his childhood. Well, a normal person that has the same sort of aspects in their chart, but they don't have that abuse, is less likely to have those same things come out to that same degree.
So the context or the upbringing and environment is the determining factor.
It definitely is a factor. If you have the signs, it's not enough just to have the signs. You have to have something to trigger them.
Okay. But what we could do potentially is look at somebody that has already committed a crime and consider whether they have the potential to commit far worse or more crimes.
Right. There are some aspects, though, that I found that it doesn't matter what your parenting is. There are some aspects that are so powerful that if you have them, it's almost a fait accompli that these things are going to manifest in your life, either directly or indirectly. And I call those extreme declinations or extreme signs, where the planet Mars or the planet Venus, and especially if Moon and Mars are together in an area beyond 23 degrees, 30 minutes, north or south declination. When they go, especially if they go toward 24 or 25 degrees, those are real danger areas that really destabilize the psyche.
That's because the archetype of the planet loses control when it goes beyond 23 degrees. Is that correct?
That's right. That's my theory.
Okay. I noticed it's fascinating that all this work that you've done on declinations I found incredible, because it caused me to look at the movement of the planets, and particularly the declinations of the planets as they move up and below the equator, but to look at those in terms of world events, Dr. Gibson, and I found that when Pluto reaches its most extreme declination and when it crosses the equator, that there are huge world events such as Great War. And I was intrigued by this crossing of the equator, that as well as the extreme declination, that when a planet crosses the equator, there's some kind of effect there as well. Did you find that, for example, Mars next to the Moon on the equator is a destabilizing factor within a person as well?
Well, the equator is one of the nodal areas that causes manifestation of the energy of a planet. So when I look at a person's chart, I look at three areas. I look at an area near the ecliptic, near where the planets cross the plane of orbit in the sky, in the imaginary sky. There is no plane there, but if you look at it imaginarily, you can definitely mathematically extend that plane infinitely, and all the planets will eventually cross that at one time or another. I also look at an area that's 21 degrees to 23 degrees, 30 minutes. That's called high declination, and that's in the north and south part of the sky. Look at those three areas first. And those are the areas where things tend to manifest the most. And when Pluto goes there, when Mars goes there, when Neptune goes there, but particularly when Saturn goes there with any other planet, it causes things to crystallize in the world. And when you get a lot of planets in that area, you'll find that that's when the world wars happen. That's when large pandemics happen. That's when major worlds, earthquakes happen. It's as though those energies beam down in a much larger sense in a smaller area like our Earth. And you just really see that over and over. When you look at the charts of those major events, you'll see these planets strong like pearls on a chain in these danger areas, in these high activity areas.
It's incredible, isn't it? It's incredible how when we look at metaphysics, so beyond physics or beyond the physical and the commonly accepted understanding of science, we can see so much.
Well, it's interesting what's going on now with science, in that scientists are now understanding that from the quantum level, nothing exists until you look at it. They also understand that there's no such thing as a separate reality from consciousness. So it really supports the concept that planetary movements, observation, consciousness are all linked at some hidden level that we're just beginning to explore. It used to be that the Newtonian concepts of reality ruled what we thought was real. We thought, well, if a planet's, 10 billion miles away, how's it going to affect anything on Earth? Well, we now understand that it doesn't matter how far away one particle is from another. If they become entangled in space and time and in consciousness, they can affect each other instantaneously. Well, oddly enough, that tends to support astrology. But that is the height of quantum physics, which is as far removed from astrology as you can get, except that they are linked.
Do you find there's much resistance in the medical world or the world of psychiatry to your use of astrology?
You know, some of the greatest astrologers in the world were also psychiatrists. Carl Jung and later in his life Sigmund Freud all used astrology. It was Carl Jung's writing about astrology that really influenced me to start using it. And there are still a lot of psychiatrists that were trained analytically and trained in some of the older schools that accept the use of astrology in certain contexts with clients. Now, of course, there's a lot of people that look at it as hokey and things that border on witchcraft. But there's a surprising number of open-minded psychiatrists that say, you know, I've seen a lot in my practice, things that seem crazy, and if you have an explanation for it, they listen. Because psychiatry is one of those things that you have to have an open mind to open your practice every day. You really do.
You must have seen so much in your practice. Well, I wanted to ask you, before we talk about signs of spiritual abilities, I wanted to ask you another question about mental illness.
Okay.
And I wanted to be quite specific. So I was wondering if you could give us a specific example about maybe the distinguishing aspects in astrology between somebody that suffers severely from ADD, for example, and somebody that has a severe form of bipolar disorder. I know from a couple of friends that it's often very difficult to distinguish between severe ADD and bipolar disorder. And I wondered if there's any insight astrologically that can help to answer that question.
My research hasn't studied bipolar disorder as of yet. Bipolar disorder is kind of a difficult diagnosis because it tends to run with so many other problems. People that are bipolar very quickly find ways to self-medicate, for instance. So quite often they have a comorbid state with alcohol or drug abuse. And so it was kind of a dirty diagnosis, and I tended to stay away from it in the research because I wanted to find people who were either depressed or drug addicts, but not doing both. And with attention deficit disorder, it tends to strike younger people, though it can extend into adulthood. And I wanted to, when that research, I only researched kids who are 18 and under. We'll start with, if you start with attention deficit, I primarily saw that there were planetary movements or groups of planetary movements that were reflective of Uranus, Neptune, and Saturn movements that occurred in these folks about 200% more than you would expect by chance. So that quite often, if a person had ADD, you would see a Uranus Neptune or a Saturn Uranus Neptune binary eclipse, which is not a common thing. And another thing that you would see is you would see Pluto and Neptune in trine or in combination with other planets in a way that you just don't see in other diagnoses. And with some of the diagnoses I saw with depression, even though we didn't look at bipolar, but with just unipolar depression, the thing that you saw most commonly is a Saturn-Pluto eclipse or a Saturn-Pluto parallel, which was over 640% more common in these folks. So now when if I look at a person's chart and I see a Saturn-Pluto parallel, Saturn-Pluto eclipse, or a Neptune-Mars parallel, which was the three main ones, it tells me something about how likely they are to be suicidal, how likely they are to be depressed, and how severe the depression or suicidality might be.
Wow. It's so exciting to hear somebody so well qualified in the medical field using this metaphysical knowledge and system to help people to understand what's actually going on and enable them to find solutions. I do want to ask you, Dr. Gibson, we know that there are often spiritual problems as well. So we know that spirits, lower energies, do sometimes go after people that are vulnerable. Have you ever Or can you give us an example, without breaching confidentiality, of course, but can you give us an example of a time when you've worked with a client and felt, hold on, there's more than a mental illness here. There's some kind of spiritual influence or possession.
One of the first times that I saw that to be true, I was working actually in an emergency room in Pennsylvania. And there was a young man that came in who was a student at a large university. Let's say it's Penn. Wasn't Penn, but let's just say it was Penn. And he was an engineering major. And he came in because his family was concerned because he felt that he was a computer from 500 years in the future. And that the consciousness he had as a 19-year-old had left him, and that all that was left was a 500-year advanced computer from the future. And so I said, okay, let me just spend some time with him. And he started telling me about world events, about things that were going to happen in the future. He started telling me about things that eventually did happen. And I thought to myself, either he's a very extraordinary psychic or there's something going on here that Haldol's not going to cure. And so I did medicate him because he was having difficulty integrating the processes that were causing him to see into this future state. But as I talked with him, he started making machine sounds. Now, human beings can't make machine sounds when you're talking to them. It sounded like there were gears coming out of his speech as he was talking. And it was just the doggonest thing I'd ever seen. And it really showed me that there were levels of perception and consciousness that, as a psychiatrist, if I just stayed on the traditional course of psychiatry, I would have medicated him out of his mind, put him in an institution, and he wouldn't have troubled anybody else. But I chose not to do that. I chose to talk with him and look at the problem as it presented and found that there was a perceptive gate that was open inside of him that should not have been open. And to make a long story short, when we closed the gate, it closed not only the access he had to that computer, but also some other entities that had come in that were making him seem psychotic. And as long as he did the things that I taught him to keep that gate closed, he was able to finish his engineering degree, was able to marry, move on with his life.
Wow, that's a wonderful success story.
It doesn't always happen like that, but once in a while it does.
Yeah, it makes me wonder if many of the people that were locked up in psychiatric institutions perhaps had spiritual problems that were maybe not understood at the time or by the person that was treating them.
When I first began working as an independent practitioner after finishing my residency, I had a certain degree of spiritual vision then. I have more now, but then I noticed that with my primitive spiritual vision, I could see colors, I could see entities around people that were very much like what they were describing. But at that time in my life, I couldn't say anything about it. So I watched them, we would talk about their entities, we talk about their quote unquote psychoses, but I discovered that most of them weren't really psychotic at all. I discovered that there were areas in their consciousness that were open that really should not have been open. And most of them had been opened by drugs or alcohol or trauma or genetic disturbances. And they had no way of closing them, no way of dealing with the consciousness disturbances that they had. And the only thing that they could do was say they're hearing voices and seeing things. But it was something more profound and in many ways something almost beautiful. Except there was a tragic element in that if they presented to someone who could not experience what they were experiencing, they were just going to be medicated and put away.
Well, you do incredible work. I want to ask you also about your work on signs of spiritual ability. Can you start to tell us a little bit about that, Dr. Gibson, before we take a short break and then come back to the discussion?
The second book that I completed on this research was one that I truly enjoyed, and it had to do with looking at a central question, because a lot of people that I talked to wanted to know if they had spiritual abilities. What kind of abilities were they born with? And using the same, a similar algorithm, I applied a computer algorithm to looking at a person's birth data and psychic ability. So I gathered a database, again, from Lois Rodden's brilliant research and some other research, and I looked at probably about 350 to 400 people who were spiritually gifted in several areas, mystical ability, psychic ability, a healing potential, and also mediumship. And in that, I compared it to a database of people who didn't really display anything that we would call spiritual abilities. And the algorithms chewed out about 30 different things that were specific to spiritual ability in people born at certain times. Didn't really have anything to do with a person's astrological sign, like if you were Virgo or Aries, that didn't really hold. But what really held were individual planetary movements and groups of planetary movements based on the three-dimensional sky. When you started looking at those, the computer could pick out a range of potentials that a person would have for displaying abilities. And that became the basis for the work in the second book.
And what did you find to be the most prominent indicators of mediumship, for example?
Mediumship is sort of a funny gift. Mediumship has to do with the ability to communicate with different levels of consciousness. And there are many levels of consciousness that in physics they say it takes 11 dimensions of reality for reality to make sense. Well, when we looked at mediumship and some of the great mediums of the past, we found that there were changes known as planetary eclipses and planetary quads of planetary movements where planets moved four at a time in a very specific way in the sky. In particular, we saw Pluto again, we saw Neptune, but also, oddly enough, Uranus. When Uranus moves with Pluto in a specific way, when any other two planets, when a person's born, it tends to point toward a quad, which is almost pathognomonic for mediumship ability. Another thing that we saw was a Sun-Venus eclipse, where the Sun is parallel and moving in sort of a conjunctive arena mathematically to Venus. And it, when you add that with the quad, that was one of the 15 or 16 different planetary movements that pointed toward beginning of a mediumship ability. The algorithm essentially assigned a point value to the 15 or 16 different planetary movements. And the more of these values that you had, the stronger your ability tended to be. So we then blinded the study and looked at a number of people who had different types of abilities who weren't really in the initial study. And it showed that these folks, compared to normal people, had scores three or four times, sometimes five or six times above normal.
Wow. So what are you working on at the moment, Dr. Gibson, if you're able to tell us? Because I know that you were planning to write a series of the books, the signs books. So you did signs of mental illness and then signs of spiritual ability, and you plan to do others. What's next for you?
Well, after I did the second book, I really saw that consciousness and the universe around us were linked. After I saw enough planetary movements indicating or pointing to different states of consciousness being different spiritual gifts, I thought to myself, why is it that I'm not developing my own spiritual gifts? Why is it that I'm focusing so much on my mind and what I could do with intellect? Why am I not going deeper? So I actually stopped doing astrology research. I still use astrology, but I focus more on deep meditation. I focus more on using meditation as a tool to dive as deeply into my consciousness as I could to explore what it meant to have a soul and to see if I could see the soul and use consciousness as a tool to explore my own inner universe. And that is the work that I've been doing for the last 10 years, as a matter of fact.
Wonderful. Well, I want to ask you more about that. We're going to take a short commercial break, Dr. Gibson, and we'll be back to continue the interesting discussion.
Okay.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Yeah. Well, Dr. Gibson, I want to ask you more about meditation. So we've talked a lot about astrology, and then you said that in order to explore and further your spiritual abilities, you went down the route of meditation. Can you tell us a little bit about your experiences with meditation?
Yes, I can. I read a book by Swami Rama called The Path of Light and Fire. And in that book, he described a deep meditation process called the breath of fire, wherein a person breathes in a certain pattern while in a meditative state, and it allows for the energy centers in the body to open in a very phenomenal way. In using the breath of fire, I discovered that not only could I leave my body, but I could also control to a certain extent where I could go with leaving my body. It gave me sort of more rocket fuel, so to speak. And in doing that, I began to travel around the planet initially, and then I began to travel outside the planet. And I found that there were other people traveling around and outside of the planet in the same way. And I met a number of beings, some of whom were not human. Now, initially, as I was doing this, I thought, okay, this must be some sort of imaginary state. You're making this up. You want to do it so badly that you're sort of forcing these visions on yourself. But I found that these beings had nothing to do with my consciousness, and they were just as curious about me as I was about them. And then I found that I hadn't been able to distinguish inner journeying from outer journeying. And then I found, as I continued to meditate, that there was no difference between the two. That the outer worlds of consciousness and the inner worlds of consciousness all emanate from a consistent conjoined point that I call collective consciousness. In just the way that Jung described it, we all emanate from a collective consciousness that we differentiate as outer and inner, but in the working universe, that differentiation is totally without merit. It's totally artificial.
And so when I moved to the States, I was quite stressed, and I was going to see a massage therapist to get a massage a couple of times a week. Mm-hmm. And I would just meditate. I would just meditate during the massage. And I came out of meditation on one occasion, and I'd had this most incredible experience of flying away from the planet. And the further I went, the faster I flew, and I could see the other planets and the stars. It was just the most incredible experience. And when I came around from the meditation, the massage therapist said to me, "Did you just travel away from the planet?" And I said, "Well, I think so. I had this meditation in which I felt like I was flying away from the planet. I could see myself getting further and further away from the Earth." She said, "I had exactly the same experience." So that was just so interesting. But have you found that this does increase your spiritual abilities?
To a great extent it does. I find that the more that I travel, the more comfortable I become with allowing myself to manifest these abilities. And I believe that we all have them, but society and family and government and politics, religion, all tend to suppress the abilities that we're born with. And when you begin to travel, especially even just traveling by plane or traveling in this world, you find that there are many people in the world that use these abilities on a daily basis in the same way that a lot of people drive their cars. I have met people that can move things with their mind, that can levitate, that can travel out of their bodies, and many other things that you just wouldn't believe. But I find that we have these abilities, that we have the potential that is much greater than anything that skeptics or the media would even begin to accept. And skeptics won't even talk to you about some of the things that are out there that people can do. And it really, for me, has been an exciting journey. It added an element to astrology, because I find that the planets are intelligent beings. They're not just balls of dust and gas and dirt. They are intelligent entities that form planets in the same way that our intelligence and consciousness form bodies, that the planet is their body, and that when you speak with the planet, you're actually speaking with a being that has a great massive intelligence, no different than a human's, except just smarter.
Well, that's interesting in itself, and it causes me to want to ask you another question about a specific planet. So we know that astrologically the planets have different archetypes or characteristics,
right?
And that the positioning and aspects of the planets in a person's natal chart indicate certain characteristics, talents, abilities, and impediments even. And I read that the term Satan comes from a reference to the planet Saturn. And I studied Hermetic astrology, in which we believe that Saturn is what we call a major malefic. So Saturn, whilst there are good things about it, it is a planet that we see to be also very troublesome. So when you talk about understanding the character of the planet, what do you feel when you tune into Saturn? Do you feel that Saturn has this connection to the archetype of Satan?
Well, the ancients were able to hear the voices of the planets. They described talking to the planets as we talk to other people. They also were able to describe consciousness as being part of the interaction with the planet. And when you talk to the planet Saturn, for instance, Saturn has a very unusual voice. Saturn's voice sounds like the voice of a monster. Jupiter's voice has sort of a grand, almost orchestral feel to it. Venus's voice is beautiful, almost lyrical. Mercury's voice is very quick and almost as though you're listening to a very fast piece of music. But when you listen to Saturn's voice, it's like listening to the voice of a demon. And so I think it had something to do with the orchestral or the ancients naming Saturn as a malefic. And oddly enough, when the Cassini spacecraft flew past Saturn and recorded the electromagnetic emanations coming from Saturn, what they found is that the energy of the sounds sounded a lot like demons screaming. And when you go on the internet and look under on YouTube on the Cassini spacecraft sounds coming from Saturn and listen to them, it sounds a lot like demons. So the term malefic associated with Saturn may have some more reality associated with it than we might be comfortable in believing.
Yeah, I mean, when I look at progressions, so looking at the progressed natal charts, because in Hermetic astrology, we take a natal chart and we progress it using the principle of a day for each year. So we see transiting planets as triggers, but there have to be deep underlying conditions in place that can be triggered. And I've noticed that when we look at progressions to Saturn that are associated with illness, usually that illness is cancer. So there is definitely some connection between Saturn and some of the tough things that happen in life.
Saturn, it does have a very strong sort of underlying negative connotation to the energy, and to a certain extent that's well-founded. But Saturn is also probably the greatest teacher in the sky, in that the events that are created by Saturn, I find, tend to be heralded a year or two in advance before major Saturn transits. So if you're having a Saturn progression from the first progression of Saturn 27 years out, usually that event before you reach your 27th birthday is going to manifest somewhere around 25, 26 years old. The next one is supposed to be 54, but that'll usually manifest somewhere a year or two before you reach your 54th birthday. If you can recognize that those transits are coming towards you, you won't be hit upside the head and sort of caught off guard by the events as they occur.
So we can use astrology to understand the energies that are coming, not seeing them as fatalistic, but take action to avert problems and also to embrace opportunities.
I think the best use for astrology and understanding it is exactly as you said, to use it as an understanding of our events, but also to eventually rise above the effect of the planets so that your birth, your destiny are no longer determined by simply the planets, but more by the effects of your elevated consciousness, so that your consciousness becomes so elevated that the planets can no longer affect you in that same way. I think that's the ultimate goal of using astrology as a tool for elevating consciousness.
Okay. And I like what you said about Saturn, because one of my mentors said to me, Steve, Satan is not a man with red horns. He's the greatest teacher, and he made the greatest sacrifice. He stepped away from God to teach us the greatest lessons that there are to be learned in life as we evolve.
I read a theory from a great Tibetan monk, and the theory really has made me think about reality in a whole different way. The monk said that in his studies, in his journeys, he came across a being that said that this world, this universe, is an experiment by the energy of Satan in consciousness. That this particular universe was created by an energy not unlike Satan, so that he could see if he could make a universe better than what the Creator had made. And that in that universe, suffering becomes a better teacher than bliss. And that was his initial journey, or that was his initial goal, is to see if suffering could be a better teacher. It was really an interesting way to look at reality, and it places Saturn in sort of a unique position of being the beacon through which we get our greatest lessons.
Yeah, and if we learn them, then perhaps they don't have to repeat.
If we learn them, we no longer have to manifest in this plane of reality. This place becomes irrelevant. We no longer have to embrace suffering.
Yeah. I was always taught that we, or human beings, learn through pleasure and pain. That's how we evolve. But if we can understand the soul and understand where we have historically experienced pain, if we can move beyond that through self-discovery, through wisdom, then we can stop manifesting pain in the name of growth, that we can grow through harmony.
And ultimately, we can learn that the lower emotional states that create pain are counterproductive. We learn that even if we're going through what we consider a negative event, if we can learn to generate the higher emotions, happiness, joy, bliss, etc., those energies can dissolve what would ordinarily be states of suffering, and that will liberate us from this plane altogether.
Well, you've got so much knowledge, Dr. Gibson. I could listen to you forever. You need to have a TV show.
I've often thought that.
really, it's now that Neptune is in Pisces as well, we should see a huge upsurge in interest in metaphysical.
And you know, there's not enough on television that is designed to elevate consciousness. Right now, the thing that tends to dominate TV is reality TV, but it has nothing to do with reality that helps you evolve. No. It's all about fighting and lower states of consciousness, and you make a very good point. We do need to have more mass media entertainment that focuses on evolution rather than devolution.
Yes, I don't watch television. I'm very interested in learning. I watch a lot of documentaries, but I watch them online and I choose what I experience and listen to. But I find television, well, I described it in another interview as the fog machine. I feel like it just keeps people numb and distracted from evolution and from an awareness of what needs to change in the world.
Yes, it does. But, the sad thing is that as a collective, we have created that. We have created the machine or the medium by which millions, if not billions, of people are numbed in this way. And I think we really have to examine, why would we do that to ourselves? Why would we do it and then complain about it? So it's a fascinating conundrum in the growth of an evolution of our own consciousness.
So, do you plan to, or well, actually, no, the question I want to ask you is, how can we learn more about your work? How can we interface more with you, Dr. Gibson? Are you going to
Well,
write more? Where do we go to find you?
I have a website, www.tybro, TYBRO.com. And on that website, we have probably close to 300 products. We have books, CDs, DVDs, lectures. We have seminars and workshops in many different parts of the world. And we also have on that website just a lot of information designed to teach. And if you go to that website, you could spend days just reading articles and never buy a thing. But we have some products that really are designed to be tools for consciousness growth. One of the best ones that we have. It's called the attunements. And the attunements are designed around some discoveries I've made in sound and consciousness that just by listening to them, it elevates the level of your consciousness and your ability to go into deeper levels of meditation. And it uses something called scalar sound, combined with certain tones of sound that we really are very excited about. We have a Facebook page, and just put in my name on Facebook. I have a community page and we have a business page on Facebook. And on YouTube, we have over 100 different videos that are designed to be teaching tools. Some of the videos are an hour long, some of them are only a few minutes, but all of them are free. And when you go there, it can teach you a lot about what we do, the different lectures that we have, and a lot of the seminars that I've done in different parts of the world are now offered for free on YouTube.
Wow. Well, I'll definitely be checking those out. I'm sure many of our listeners will as well, Dr. Gibson. Do we just search for your name on YouTube?
You put my name in and you will find dozens of videos on there.
Great.
I have several new books out, one called Nine Insights into Living a Happy Life, which is one of the ones I wrote about 2 years ago that uses some really profound spiritual teaching as a way to help add happiness and contentment in life. We also have one called The First Darkness, which is my first attempt at spiritual fiction. And it's designed to explore the concept of where reality comes from in relation to angels and consciousness. So it's a story that follows one angel who decides that he wants to fall in love with a woman, but he falls ill in the process, and he and the woman have to find a way to keep him alive before he perishes. So it ends up being a love story and an exploration of reality and the interface between divine beings and mortal beings. And how they can help each other.
Sounds incredible. Well, as I said, I've read two of your books, and I'll certainly be getting the
I
rest and checking out those YouTube
would
videos.
highly recommend The First Darkness. I think you'd enjoy that.
Oh, I will. I will get hold of that for sure. Well, Dr. Gibson, I want to thank you for joining us, but more importantly, I want to thank you on behalf of Spirit for the work that you do. The work that you've done in the psychiatry field, but also spiritually. We need more people like you in the world, and it's absolutely refreshing to hear what you have to say.
Well, thank you so much. This has been a fantastic interview, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I thank you for having me.
You're welcome. We'll definitely be asking you back. And as I said, I'm sure many of our listeners will be checking out your website. I'll certainly be looking at your work ongoing. You do also teach workshops, I think, don't you?
Yes, we have a number of workshops coming up this year. We have a workshop coming up in London. We have one coming up in Los Angeles and one coming up in New York. And you can find out about all of them on our website under upcoming events.
Great. Well, I'll definitely be coming to one of those at some stage because I'd like to meet you and learn more.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Gibson. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Good luck.
Thank you.
Wow, what an interesting man. I really enjoyed that interview. I found Dr. Gibson fascinating. And as I said, I've read a lot of his work and recommend that you all check it out because it really is a leading edge. I want to thank Dr. Gibson again for being with us. I've got a huge amount of respect for him and very grateful for him sharing everything that he shared with us this evening. If you do want more information about Dr. Gibson or if you'd like to contact him, you can look at his Psychic Access Talk Radio profile. And you can also go to his website, tybro.com. That's TYBRO.com. Now, before we move on, I'd like to make a few announcements. Be sure to stay with us for the next part of the show. And later in the show, you'll be able to call in for a free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We'll announce the call-in number a little later on, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready. And if you were unable to catch our show last week, you'll find the archive on the PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com website, as well as all of the archives for our previous shows. Just click on the archives tab and do feel free to send them to your friends and family and put them on Facebook. There's a lot of good material there and it's all free, so do make the most of it. And we really just want to share and learn and reach out and connect with as many people as possible. Be sure to visit our website, psychicbloggers.com. You can learn about all things spiritual there, and all of that material is submitted by the wonderful psychics, intuitives, mediums at psychicaccess.com. So go to psychicbloggers.com. There's a huge amount to read and a lot of very good material. And if you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the web, go to psychicaccess.com. You'll find that all of our readers are verified, accuracy tested, and they each offer their unique gifts. You can also read their profiles, learning a little bit about them and choosing the person that you feel can help you most. They are wonderfully authentic psychics. It's an honor to work with Psychic Access and Doug, who takes care of us behind the scenes, making sure that everything's running smoothly and that we're working to high expectations. All of the co-hosts on Psychic Access Talk Radio are also available at psychicaccess.com. And if you would like a personal reading from any one of us, please do get in touch. We'd love to hear from you. And if you have your own website, you can earn 50 cents a minute on readings referred to psychicaccess.com. So for more on that offer, please go to psychicaccess.com/webmasters. And if you like our show, please invite your friends, join us in the chat room, and listen to the psychic viewpoints. There's something for everybody, so please do help us to spread the word. Now, we'll be moving on to that part of the show during which the co-hosts discuss the interview. And after that, we'll be taking readings. I'm going to give you the number now, so get your pen ready. You can call in with this number, 724-444-4851, 724-444-4851. And you can call in just after we've had our discussions. I'll remind you of the number again a little bit later on. Well, Maureen, did you find that interesting?
Oh, yes, I certainly did. I absolutely did because of my own personal, I could throw out all my, you know, business. Yeah, especially when he's talking about the mental illness and such. A couple of things I'm not going to use this word resonate, I just did. But no, it was, I could identify with what he was stating, especially about the environmental issues of growing up, which I feel makes quite a bit of difference. I was right on top of that one with him, and because of my own personal journey. So I'm a mess. No,
you're not a mess. You're wonderful.
No, I know. No, but it was a struggle. Like, you know, especially for, you know, something, someone like, well, like we are. I wasn't like I wanted to be unavailable for someone to condition me like in a family. As we all know, usually by the age 10, you're conditioned with the rest. And it's no fault of anybody's, but my parents or family wasn't set up to nurture that part of me. So there was a lot of mental, emotional isolation that was very, very sad and painful. Not that I'm pity partying, but, you know, it was hard.
And well, that's what enables you to help others.
Absolutely. But that's what I really understood. I really identified when you brought that part up, especially because it does, the environmental, you know, conditions do make a big difference. I think we're all bipolar anyway, everybody, as far as I'm concerned, too.
Well, but, genius has its price, Maureen.
Yeah, I know. You think? Yeah, and also physically it'll take a toll on you as well. But, yeah, well, I loved his interview, and I liked his he had a great energy about him, definitely,
yes.
And really felt he has a strong – like, you know, I'm joking a lot, but my sense of humor I've been talking about is fantastic. It's gotten me through a lot of things. But even when I'm doing that with my work, I do take my work very seriously, and I do have a sense of humor as well. So about it. So, you know, like I said, I liked his energy. He was very he was connected with what he's saying, and truly knew. He felt very, you know, a lot of times people will be talking about something, you know, they're kind of like just new agey, you know, whatever. He really
knows what he's talking
about.
He knows
his way. He knows his way about what he's doing. Yes, exactly. It was really good. Good job.
And wonderful to hear a guy who's essentially a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
Going down a metaphysical route and merging science with consciousness, really.
Well, I'll tell you now that you brought this. Sorry, I'm kind of hogging the banter.
It's fine.
But speaking of that, which I've been talking a lot about that, you know, because my daughter and her generation, she's graduating, and everybody, yes, I'm giving her a big clap. I'm from UCSD, which is a really large, very well-known college in La Jolla University, and she's graduating in June, and she is gone into neuroscience, studying the brain, right? And she was going to go off to med school. Now things have changed, so now she now is into mindfulness. So she's done everything in the – I may have mentioned this on the show, and because you brought it up, she was working along – a psychiatrist when she first started, and he was the type of, he started focusing on meditation and not medicating, and this is a psychiatrist. This is going in that direction faster than we know, and my daughter, being in the generation that she's at, she, the only school that offers now, the only degree, right, they're all going to offer it in mindfulness, and she's just going to go on to her PhD to be a psychologist or something, but she wants to be having a direct major in mindfulness, and Columbia University in New York is the only one that's offering this, but you know, a lot of them are going to be following after that, because our world's changing.
Our world is changing.
And so I'm real. And so she's a part of that. And go figure, I'm my daughter, because we were very different. But somehow or another, we're kind of merging in some way, aren't we?
That's wonderful. Yeah, well, it's all meant to be. You're meant to be
the scientific,
father and daughter.
They can't, well, maybe, but yeah, I drove her crazy. But the scientific energy behind all that, it just, they can't deny it anymore. I mean, things like the meditate or mind, being mindful. You know, that is very important. And soon, so there won't be overly medicating people. Soon, there will be, you know, a much better place.
There's a very interesting YouTube video by a psychiatrist. I can't remember her name off the top of my head. But it's called, I think the video is called I Am Adam Lanza's Doctor.
Oh.
And she wasn't Adam Lanza's doctor.
Right.
But she... The point she's making is she's worked with and treated a lot of people that had severe problems. And it's a very, very interesting video clip. It's about 15 minutes long. And she says that she never medicated any client. And she was also making some very interesting observations about the pharmaceutical industry and the approach to medication, particularly in the US.
So, yes.
I'd love to have her on the show.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. I'm going to go check out that video. You're right about that, especially in the U.S. As a matter of fact, absolutely. I cannot believe, from just my daughter's generation when she's going to high school, how many people in that school were being medicated because they had something going on. Now, of course, there may be some, but come on. I mean, it's what the heck? Over-medicating children immediately. Well, in the old days, or in the past day, a long time ago, they just put a little bit of alcohol in the kid's bottle and separate them. You know, but I'm not that I'm saying that's great, but I'm just saying I've seen it, and I noticed it with me when they were having their way with me for years, and it wasn't, they didn't understand me. They just stared at me. They were crazy people, but they just said, oh, you're this way, and that's all there's to it. Well, no. There was, I was special, but I was called nuts. No, I was called nuts. Now, you know, really, now we're called what? Unique, but I used to be bizarre. So you're special and gifted, whatever. But yeah, I really appreciated him on it. And actually, it was really nice to hear that tonight, this kind of stuff, because I still have a struggle with my family. So,
yeah. Well, we love you, Maureen.
We love you too.
Well, thank you. And I think I'm learning, Maureen, the more I work with my clients, the more I hear myself saying to them, the solution is self-love and self-mastery.
Yeah. Yes. I know it's easy for us to say too, but you know what? I can really sometimes really, again, relate to some readings I do, almost like in a way I feel like I should be paying them for the reading I just gave them because I get a lot back when I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Well, that's about things. It's fantastic. That's the fantastic part. So
it's fun to help people.
It is difficult, but you know what? It's even nicer to really. And I'm not. I am. You know, I have to say, psychicaccess.com. I'm not just saying this because I'm there, but I have been, you know, long for the ride with Doug on this. You know, his businesses and there are. Top line, top of the notch people, and I really had a, you know.
That's because I do the hiring, Maureen.
It's because Steve does the hiring, Maureen, and you know.
Well, in honesty, we have really high expectations,
right.
Of people. I don't hire people unless I find them to be very caring.
Yeah.
So we don't just look for real psychic ability and metaphysical knowledge. We look for really good people that actually are not just there to make money. Obviously, that we have to make our living, but people that want to help. And I look for that very, very carefully when I assess people. Do they actually care about me? Do they care about other people? Are they in this for the right reasons? I don't think there are any wealthy psychics on the planet.
No.
But
we don't want to go there with some of the ones. But Steve did not hire me, everybody. Let it be known.
I didn't. Well, you were there long before me, Maureen.
I know. I just had to say that. I'm funny. No, Doug did. He threw me. But no, you're right, Steve. And you know, no, because you do a great job, I might add. And just because Doug expects nothing more or less from you, less from me. But I also feel that with that said, again, we do have a lot of compassion, and objectivity is, I think, is very important. And not to also look at them as they're crazy people. Some people that call, you know, really, because I know what it feels like when I felt some people are really sensitive when they call, or they're in the work that we do, and as well, you know, are you know, having challenges with it, as we all have had.
I think. We all need support in life. The intuitives, or working intuitives, also need support at times. We can't just look at ourselves objectively.
Yeah, and also, you know, you hear the same. It's hard not, you know, it's hard not to hear a story, but I feel everybody has an individual situation. But sometimes when you hear a story, and it's always so much easier to go, okay, I guess that story says that this thing is going on, or that is going, you know, relationship one's a good one. Oh, it sounds like to me that he's just late. Well, I will not go that direction. I'll get something else, and I'll just have to say it. And it may not be.
I tell you, I had a client a while ago, not a psychic access client, but a client who had come out of a relationship, and all she wanted to hear was that this guy would never meet anyone else. that he'd lost his one and only opportunity.
Oh.
And I was trying to help her understand that that's really not the attitude to have, and that that attitude alone would cause her a lot of problems in relationship dynamics. So I know we relation, you know, Dr. Gibson was saying, Maureen, that Saturn's the greatest teacher. Yeah. I often feel that relationships are the greatest classroom.
No, I like the way you feel very nice. I like that. I like that. I'm going to use that line for my. No, I like that. That's very, very well said.
It really is true. And I feel as well, when we master ourselves, when we love ourselves and we really resonate huge self-love, then we can magnetize healthy relationships that reinforce everything about ourselves.
Absolutely right. And, you know, I'll tell you this much. I know it's a very easy. It sounds so easy, but it's a very difficult for some to find that. You know what it is? It's all in your head. To be okay about allowing themselves to really love themselves. It's really difficult. And for others, not. But the ones that call me that might have, I get it because they come from a family maybe similar to the way mine was or whatever. And it's just like, and I crack myself up, I was, get the thought out of my head, just do it. Someone told me, just get over it. It's right, just get over it, you know? And it's true. And it's absolutely right. It's about really caring for yourself. Until that happens, you're not going to be able to thrive very well in any relationships.
Well, Maureen, I want to see if Brenda's sound is
working.
Yeah,
let's
Brenda join us. Absolutely. Are you there, Brenda?
I'm here.
Hey, and you're crystal clear.
Yes, we had to go in and out and up
but
and around.
And but we did it.
Shake our booty, but we're here.
And we had a little drinky. And
no.
No, anyway.
I need it after this, but.
So it's your floor now, but I'm done talking. I'm going to talk now. No, with you guys over.
I loved your guest, Steve.
Thank you.
What I loved about him is he lives it. I mean, this is not something that he read books about. This is something that he really experiences. And I can relate. I know that you can relate with working with clients, you know, and, you know, day in and day out. And one of the things that struck me about this is, I mean, these are all rediscoveries that we're making now in this so-called new age. And, you know, the ancients knew all of this, the interconnection between ourselves, the earth and the universe. And I particularly loved what he had to say about the voices of the planets.
Yes.
And I know that you are into, like, you know, healing astrology and, you know, medical astrology and all that. They talk a lot about that. Medieval texts talk a lot about that, strangely enough. They make all kinds of interesting pictures, you know, outlining, you know, the personalities of the planets. And what he said about Saturn was frankly quite shocking because I'm ruled by Saturn. And I would hate to think that it was inhabited by Babylonian demons, but if you look at some of the, even, you know, some of the Babylonian stuff related to the planets, it's pretty telling, you know, that they really had an ear to the universe. Whereas, you know, these things, we're overwhelmed by stuff now. It's like we've lost our sense of smell, or one of our senses is, you know, kaput, and we're having to reintroduce it. Don't you agree?
Yeah. I heard, I was watching a documentary last night, and I heard the suggestion that we won't understand the pyramids and everything that is contained in the pyramids in terms of messages for us. We won't understand it until we have evolved to a certain the required level of consciousness.
Well, there was a time in history, and if I look back on all the stuff that I've studied, you know, the ancient Egyptians and the Mesopotamians, in which the belief system became religion, and the sciences and astrology and the sciences parted ways and were dissected, and they were no longer, you know, a part of the same whole. And since then, then on, you know, it's brought us a sense of, you know, even though technologically we're so far advanced, the ignorance of our connection with the universe is vast. And, you know, we're trying to get back to that. And if, you know, the perfect world and what these new things coming up, like Maureen was talking about her daughter's studies, and it looks like they're starting to get a clue, like, you know, something else exists. You know, what is this life force that is inherent in everything? You know, the voices of the planets, the voices of the trees.
I loved his point, Brenda. You've got a caller actually, Brenda, which we'll take just in a moment. But before we do, I wanted to just say I loved his point about the fact that the planets are conscious, that they are a collectivity of consciousness.
How can they not be? I mean, how
Absolutely.
Can they not be?
And we need to show respect.
We do.
We need
Saturn
to show respect.
Will swat you down.
Yeah. It's very, very interesting. Well, before you take your call here, Brenda, I'm going to just give out the number again to everybody that's listening. So if you want to call in for a free reading, it's 724-444-4851. Now, we have a caller for you, Brenda, from California.
Hello, California. Hello.
Hi. Hello, how are you? This is Ivan from Los Angeles.
Hi, Ivan. What can I do for you this evening? What would you like to know?
I would like to know what you see as far as me finding a new job. I've been at a standstill for a while, looking for new work. Nothing's really been happening. But just wanted to see what you saw.
Okay, let's take a peek here. Well, you've definitely put a lot of applications, resumes, and there was a feels like there was a flurry kind of in the past, and now you're kind of you're reassessing some things right now. And one of the things that I do see is that, you know, your instinct was, well, if this doesn't work, maybe I'll try this, and it's not really completely a fit, but let's try it anyhow. Maybe it'll stick, and you go round and round and round. What I see happening is the Wheel of Fortune is on you. It's in your reading. And what that means is that, you know, this situation is going to turn in your favor. And I see that within 10 weeks, because I see 10 weeks in, you know, it seems like, oh, gosh, another 10 weeks, how can I make it through this? But you will make it through this.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to just do pizza delivery, okay? You can't exist on that.
Exactly. I want something great.
and within 10 weeks, there's a man, and he's a fire sign. He looks like an Aries. And I feel that he's a dynamic personality. I feel he gets back to you on something you've applied to. But my feeling about this, when I look into it, is that... it is something that you come full circle with. You've done it before. You're experienced. You may have wanted to get out of it, and that I see is because you were probably not happy where you were. But an opportunity comes and it's new and exciting. But it does feel like you're coming full circle and going back to what you really excel at. I also see a woman that's very encouraging. I see that she could even be the one that opens the door or finds this for you. It's important to know that there's creativity around this, and I'm sensing that this you could make a name for yourself, or you could put yourself in a position where you get some sort of recognition. That is what I see. What type of work are you looking for?
Oh, wow. Well, my past, I've worked in the music industry. And I've been looking, like, I love music, I love the business, but I've been looking to sort of transfer out of it and do something different with it, other media, but I love music.
Well, you know what? This is interesting because I know you want to get out of it and you're looking for all these other things, but this is where your heart is and an opportunity in the music business. And it's in the business end, but it also feels like it's in the creative end too, so it might be in some sort of production type of capacity comes back your way. So I believe that good things are worth waiting for with this, and it's been a process. I know you had struggles, but the struggles that you had in the business before, you know, it's almost like you were putting some change in the machine of the universe and kind of like, you know, paying some dues in a way, is what I see.
Yeah, exactly. I just told someone, like, I paid my dues.
Yeah, so you know what? You need to put this out there, and you have to approach it without fear. Okay, my dear?
Yeah, perfect. Sounds good.
All right, hang in there.
All right, thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Brenda. Great reading. And Maureen, we have a caller for you from Indiana.
Hello, Indiana. I like
Hi,
that.
How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you? And who am I speaking to?
This is Joe.
It is Joe. You know, I had a feeling. It's funny. Hi, Joe.
I had a feeling I was going to get you, too.
It's so weird, isn't it? Oh, you know what? Synchronicity.
This is true.
And it's been a while, Joe. A long while. But so I'm.
It's
can
been
I,
a while. I agree. But
yeah,
I'm back now.
I do.
So, silly question, I know. But I've kind of been on the dating scene for a while, but I'm not really finding anybody. I was wondering if you see anything changing in the near future for me.
Okay, so but you're open to it. You're not isolating yourself off and not wanting to be bothered like some people. I know.
No, not at all.
That's a good thing. So you're ready.
Oh yeah.
And open. Okay. Well, Joe, you know, this is what I'm getting. You said something a moment ago. You said something you're going to be, you are in the next, it's within the next 2 months. And when I say that on my time frame, everybody, okay, listen, I may be off, but when I say 2 months, it's not like I'm telling you, you're going to have to wait 2 months at that moment. I do see you connecting with someone very, it's a very positive feeling. It's even more so in addition to, you know, the normal, you know, connection and the romantic type of interaction, but it's a really great feeling of a partnership, a real nice part. And that's a lot of times people don't connect in those ways. And this is an ideal situation because a partnership is real important when you like somebody, you know, you like them. Mm-hmm. And also there's a continuity between, I see you and somebody else. It's really well. Now, it's interesting to me. There's something around your work. It looks like there's so much commotion going on. And
oh, yeah, that's for sure.
It's like there's some changes. Everybody's like, it's around you, but it's fascinating to me because I'm not clear on where you may know this person. I'm not clear of, and I threw your work out in there because it's just right so close to your work. Now, it's interesting again because I feel that there's somebody else that I feel that you might have reconnected with most recently for a very short lived time. I mean, hasn't there been anybody? It was short lived. It was a meaningful experience, extremely short lived. And this is it's a different, whole different situation. And I feel that it's not like I see you meeting someone really great, like I'm talking about, and then suddenly you have somebody short-lived. I feel that this may have already occurred. So I'm asking you, Joe, you have some really great things. You know what? The bottom line is this. There's somebody that I feel you know of, and it's, like I said, a mutually equal relationship and partnership. I'm also feeling... Oh, I'm seeing also that you have the strength available, really. You're in a really great place to be in a very good, healthy relationship. You've done some work on that, I'm sure. And I say hooray to that because a lot of people don't do that. But I also I'm also seeing there's somebody that if someone from your past, if you reconnect, it's short-lived, it's just not going to connect or move on like it could have been. Is there someone in the past that you're thinking of? I don't know. I just feel, you know, also, Joe, this is really good timing for you. Also, the timing for connecting with somebody right now is very good. It's on your side. And I do want to ask you, it looks like you're, are you studying something or about ready to study, like as a student or something?
I'm supposed to go get my PHR certificate for work here pretty soon.
It's going to be absolutely great. It's going to come to you. You're going to absorb really easy. It's going to come easy for you because there's so many great things that I see around you. It's like relationship-wise, you know, everything you're absorbing knowledge quickly, and your dreams, and you're sensitive, and you have faith. I mean, really, a lot of positive light around you and everything. It's very good. So
that's good to hear.
But you thank yourself. It's your reading. You own it. You've been doing something. You know, bless your heart. You've done some.
No, that's true. I have. I've really been working on it. So
you have, and I say hooray for you. And everybody can listen up, because it's hard to do that, to really come to grips. You have done well, and it's the time. And here it comes. You know, you've made it. This is your reading. You've done this. Thanking me is not really the issue. But Joe, I'm really nice to hear from you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being. I hope we see you again next week and again more. So it's lovely to see you back here.
Oh, well, thank you, Maureen. Thanks for all your help.
You're welcome. Bye, Joe.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Maureen. That was great. Well, I've got a caller now from Pennsylvania. Who's calling?
Hello, Steve.
Hi, who's this?
This is Penny.
Hello, Penny. How are you?
Good.
Good. How can I help you, Penny?
I was wondering if you saw, I've been looking for a job / internship so I can graduate, and okay. I've had to push it off one semester. I'm almost down to the wire. Because of my situation, it's sort of tough just to walk in and get an internship.
Okay. So is your question, will I get an internship?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me see. Yeah, I feel that you will. I don't feel it happens in April. I feel it comes about in May, Penny.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that the internship is very much about the use of the intellect. So whatever it is you're doing, it must be a pretty intellectual theme. And I feel that you will get an internship that really enables you to use your mind and use what you know. So I know that you've been looking hard for opportunities, and I know that it hasn't easily come to fruition, but I feel that it does. And as I said, I feel that you get confirmation in May and that you get started in June. Does that sound feasible for you? Would you be happy to start an internship in June?
I almost have to start at the end of April, the 1st of May. I don't know if they're going to let me push it off again, or I'll end up flunking. So it's my only thing that I have left after 3 years of school.
Is to do the internship.
Yeah.
And do they not understand that you need to find the right internship?
No, they think I should just take whatever, and I won't do that.
Yeah, I feel that you need to take the right opportunity. But I do, as I said, I don't feel that it happens at the end of April. I feel that you need to have a real push on opportunities, exploring opportunities now, but I feel that it comes about in May.
Have I gone in the right directions looking for?
Sorry?
Have I gone in the right fields?
I feel that you have, but I feel that you need to, there needs to be a real strong intellectual connection. What is it? What kind of internship are you looking for? Because my guides give me this need for it to be really intellectually stimulating. It can't just be anything. It has to be an experience that enables you to really use your intellect, show what you know, and learn intellectually.
Yep.
So what's the field?
See, I can go into several fields. I have a very wide, you know, a full circle, I should say. Anything from customer service, I've already done management. There's really not a lot of anything I haven't done.
Well, I feel it really needs to be quite inspirational. I don't feel that the direction for you is customer service or one of these mainstream fields. I feel that it really needs to be something that's very interesting for you, that really challenges you and enables you to do work that's quite alternative. And I mean, could you even go down the route of an internship with, for example, a psychologist or a coach, somebody that works with people, with individuals?
I never thought about that one.
Because I feel that that's the direction. I feel that you're very interested in people and how the mind works. And I feel that just going down the route of customer service or something like that would bore you. So I feel that you need to reflect upon alternatives that are more innovative and more stimulating intellectually than the things you have focused upon. I feel that the opportunity will be offered to you by a male, and I don't feel that he's an older gentleman. I feel he's probably in his 30s. And I feel that you should really sit back and reflect upon what you would be excited about, because I feel as though the blockage is that you're not clear what it is you really want. And it is important that you do what you really, really want to do rather than just going down a route that you feel you should go down, because it's the expectation of your tutors or your professors. So I feel you've got to widen your net, but then very specifically go after things that interest you. And it feels to me that it has some kind of coaching or even psychology feel to it. It's about people. It's about motivation. It may be some form of training, but it's certainly people, training, motivation, inspiration, even psychology, that sort of feel. Okay. And I feel that your tutors will be fine with it once you tell them what you're taking and why. I don't feel that they'll have an issue with the timing. They just want to know what you're doing and that it's sorted. So when you're able to say, look, this is what I'm going to be doing, it won't necessarily be in May, it'll be beginning of June, but this is what I'm doing, I feel they'll be fine with it.
Okay.
All
right. Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome, Penny. Wish you lots of luck.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye. Take care. Well, actually, there's a little question from chat for you, Brenda. Val is asking which tarot deck you use.
You know, and I addressed it, but I will tell them I use the Aleister Crowley deck, the Thoth Tarot, and I also use the Egyptios Kir. It's a it's an Egyptian deck that's out of print, but I have one really raggedy one that's taped together, one that's getting really raggedy, and one in reserve.
I'm using the new steampunk tarot.
Oh, that must be interesting.
It's fascinating. I tell you what's really interesting about it, and this just is unbelievable. People will think I'm making this up. When I first got it and I opened the deck, I saw one of the cards had a picture of my sister on it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, this is really strange. That's Emma. That's my sister. And it's not like it resembles her. It literally is her. It's a photograph of her. It's unbelievable. So I contacted her and I sent her this photograph of the card. Mm-hmm. And she called me back and said, how did you manage to do that? How did you get my picture on a tarot card?
How neat is that?
Well, it gets more intriguing. The Six of Wands, and you maybe can tell me more about the Six of Wands because you know about the decks. It's a picture of me.
Interesting.
I sent it to her and she said, how did you do this? How did you get a picture of you on the deck? Is this a deck you've had made? And I said, no. But the Six of Wands, it looks just as I looked when I was 15. It's like an exact replica of me at that age, as is this other card. Six of Wands. Does that mean I'm going to be a big failure, Maureen, or a success? Sorry, I pulled you more in there.
Oh, you know what? My feeling on that, Six of Wands, it's definitely a challenge, but it has to do with you. following your, not your head so much, but more of your heart, because you throw up obstacles if when you overanalyze your emotions. Mm-hmm. That's just what I see in it, okay?
Okay.
And speaking of tarot decks, I actually am in a tarot deck. It's called the Well-Worn Path by Raven Grimassi. I'm on the High Priestess in his second deck. So if anybody wants to see me in a tarot deck, I'm on a tarot deck.
That's cool.
Superstar.
Yes, superstar.
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 I love that. I know.
I have to stay like her. And you have to throw up your arms.
I did it. I was doing it just with you right now. Brenda,
I had to throw that in there because, you know, I might not be a Leo, but I have a Leo ascendant.
No, I think it's fantastic. No, I did too. When I said superstar, I put my hands and I stood up and even did the, lunge forward and put up the hand.
You know what, Steve, I didn't mean to like analyze you there through the tarot.
No, not at all. I think that what I would say is that I've always had to work very hard. I've never just had things fall in my lap. I've always really applied myself and worked hard for what I've achieved and what I've got. I have Saturn in the 10th house, so I have to work hard for what I achieve.
Well, I have it in the 12th house. So you know now why I'm all crazy. No, I'm joking.
I have Saturn in Sagittarius.
Well, you know, I have meat in the oven. I'm joking.
Well, I wouldn't tell that to anybody, Maureen.
Well, who's doing the show next week? Is it you, Maureen, or Brenda?
No, it's my show next week.
Maureen. And then I'm after.
Yeah. Do we have any chat? Well, I know Doug's running the chat room. I mean, he's doing it very well, I might add. But isn't there a chat question?
Let's take a peek. That was the only one about the tarot card.
Julie said, did you see mine, Maureen? Doug, did you see Julie's? I know. He said some. Well, I'm just kind of talking out loud to everybody. Hi, everybody in the chat room. Everybody nice joining us. And everybody's so special.
Just Julie's. I don't see Julie's.
I know. I'm looking for Julie because she said, did you see mine?
Oh, here we go.
Does she have a question there?
Yes, she does.
What's her question? Are you going to answer the question?
I think it's Brenda. It's Brenda's turn, yeah?
Oh, Brenda.
Yes. Okay. Her question is...
Never mind.
I'm not sure that the sequence is right. Who answered the last question? I've lost
track. Well, I answered the tarot deck one. Is that a real question? And then it would be Maureen's.
I know. I think Doug's saying something else too.
But I do... Maureen, I do want to ask you about next week's show. I wanted to know what next week's show is about.
Oh, okay. Oh, God.
Before we take more questions.
Yes, no, absolutely.
Because I'm just intrigued.
Next week's show is about animal communication, and I'm very excited about this. I know that I think each of you have had. I've never done a show really on animal communication or that, but it's a little bit of a different twist. I think both of you have, but animal communication and what this is about really, we need to start paying attention to the animals around us. Because really, Mary, oh, I'm sorry, you guys. I usually would have it up. You took me off guard for a minute, Steve. That's okay. One moment.
You just want to know the subject.
Animal communication. Yes, and what this is about, and it also comes from a book. It also comes from a book of a book she just had out, and I've got an autographed copy, by the way. Animals Impacting Our World is a fantastic book, and they took a bunch of 33 different people and interviewed these stories about their animals. It's a fantastic book, too.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask Brenda about her show the following week as well, but before we do, I do want to give you this question, Brenda. It's from Julie. She's asking if you see her moving back to Washington State.
Okay, let's take a peek. Let's see. The first thing I'm getting is it really depends on what's going on with family. There's a lot of things up in the air right now. The finances have to come through for her, and right now I'm seeing that they're... It's probably a couple months away, maybe even more. But she will receive the clue to her moving there. I do believe she needs to be there. Is that the money will all come together in the next couple months, and she'll say, "Yes, I can really do this. I can really make this this move. I know that she doesn't want to because there's a certain amount of interference or she's afraid to interfere, but it looks like the road is going to be open for her to make that move. If she, you know, the only thing stopping her is a man. And this man may at the last minute say, I don't want you to move there. Maybe it's not a good idea, but everything looks like it's a go for that move at this time is what I see. Okay.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you for that,
mm-hmm.
Brenda. Great. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, also, Brenda, I want to ask you about your show the following week. What do you have planned for us? So Maureen's got animal communication lined up. What are you planning?
I have a woman who's going to talk about the chakras because we haven't talked about the chakras in depth. And she's actually from England. So,
Wow.
She wrote
She'll
a book
a
on.
She'll
yeah,
be
but she's she's
great.
She's wrote a book on the chakras, and that's what I have. I actually have her, and I have this other guest that's kind of like the one you were dealing with, Maureen, that's in
yes.
and out, and
yes.
I can do it, and then I can't do it, and I can't, and that's on sound therapy. So I'm firming this up in the next week, so I'll have it done.
Yeah, and also, I am going to bring in the psychics. Sextologist, which I think will be a great show.
You see, I wanted that show, but I'm guessing that you need it more than I do.
Well, maybe is wait, there's some Freudian thing in that one. I know you're a happily married woman, and I'm just isolated. Nothing to come on.
No, I didn't mean it that way. Okay.
I know you didn't. I'm
just messing with you.
I'm messing. You're yanking my chain. I know you are. Anyway, oh, there's a call for me from my hometown, and Brenda's too.
Wonderful. Oh, okay. Well, Maureen, California.
California. Here I am. Hi, California. Hello.
Hey, this is Reggie.
Well, hello, Reggie. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good.
Okay, well, you know, Reggie, just a note real quick. Put your lovely face back up on Facebook for us to look at. Just saying. I miss that look in your face, so just saying. So, Reggie, what can I help you with?
So, you see me meeting any new friends in the next few months? Or?
And it's nice to hear if some people are really getting ready for this and opposed to not. You know, I just want to tell you that, I know that it's sometimes you get stuck in this way. You know, I do. I absolutely do. And I absolutely always get the same when I've read for you. This is who I'm seeing. I'm seeing a woman. She looks like she has, well, actually, there's a two woman. I see a woman that has a reddish or lighter colored hair. And blonde red, that type of thing. And I'm also seeing somebody here around her. You know, again, I feel this is somebody that does not live, because I know the type of place you're in. It's around other, you know, adults, right? Yes. And I also feel that you're going to meet her through somebody that lives in the building that you do, but she's going to be like hanging out as a guest type of deal, right? And also, there's another woman here, though, and I would stay. There's two, and I'm picking up two, which is fantastic. I don't think I picked up two, but this other woman, whom I feel like will be a woman that she lives in the building you do it, but she's a nice person, but she also appears to be extremely. Bless her heart, she's so hard on herself. She gets very, very depressed and really down on herself, and she appears like she might be. You know, successful. It's not like, you know, pretend and she's phony baloney. She doesn't worship money, but she's able to manage money. So she might be in some type of work that is like a business executive or some sort of that. And she may be recently divorced. Mm-hmm. But it would not be a good match for you. So, and she has dark, dark hair. Well, I guess her natural hair color.
Is she tall?
Dark. Pardon me?
Is she tall?
She's not, you know, both of these women I'm seeing, they're not as short as I am, but I would say 5 foot. They're not extremely tall, but I would say, you know, let me put it this way. The one with dark hair, I feel is a little bit more healthier in the body, And that's a nice way of putting healthier mm-hmm. in the body, little meteor. And yeah. she looks like, you know, 5'6", perhaps. I could be off on wrong. The other one, the one I feel very positive about, and she, like I said, I don't feel lives in the building, but will be in indirectly. You'll meet her from somebody mm-hmm. else who lives there. She appears to be like she looks lean. She's more leaner, and she's lovely. She's a real, real vivacious. She has that Leo personality, just full of sunshine all over her. And the sunshine's coming up really well. We have it all the time, but soon. You have a pool and barbecues, don't you, Reggie, where you live?
Yeah, I like barbecues. I mean, I know,
but do they when it gets going? It looks like you're going to be invited to something. This is coming up soon. You know, we're getting into the weather. Like, when the weather gets better, you'll be around the barbecue and the pool. People will probably mm-hmm. tend to be doing that like they do. Don't worry, yeah. Reggie. There's two different ones I'm seeing. One, it's not so bad, but she has some very – it looks like it would be difficult for you. You can't carry on. You can't help her feel better about herself. And stay away from that because, you know, it's hard enough being okay with your own self and being, strong enough.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. I do see you getting some good news, but I do feel that, I don't know, I don't think I picked up on two, but there's two different ones, two individuals that are different, but like I said, the one that's lighter and she's more petite, but she's lighter looking, a lot lighter looking, like I said, than the other one. Mm-hmm. But if you're open to it, but she's fantastic and she's very traditional and she's really nice to be around. She's lovely.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon, I feel you know of her or seen of her, but soon you'll be getting some good news. And when we're going to get into hot weather and you're going to be invited down to, I don't know, barbecue and all that. It's going to be very good. Get ready, Reggie, because I know you want this and desire. It's going to freak you out, though, because all of a sudden though, there it will be and you'll go, oh, no, enjoy this and you're open and people want to be with you, Reggie. You're a great guy. Okay?
Yeah. All right,
you remember that. You remember that. Okay?
I will.
Okay, I know you won't, but I'll keep telling you because...
No, I will. I actually will.
All right, Reggie. I believe you. Okay, bye-bye. Yes, Reggie. Thanks. Bless your heart. I'm glad. Okay, well, I'll talk to you again soon, someday.
Okay.
Very soon,
all right.
Bye, Reggie.
Thank you, Maureen. That was a lovely reading.
Yeah, Reggie's a great guy. Brenda knows, you know, Reggie's a great guy.
He sounds like a great guy.
He's a lovely person. And Reg, you can hear me out there, yeah. And I know that he misunderstood something about me. And everybody should know that I am what I am. I'm crazy. But, you know, I really try to live by what I talk about and being kind. And I've been, you know, people have all been betrayed. We all have had our issues, right? But it's and then you get worried about everybody else. But so... I don't know what guest is going on here. We're talking about guests. Can I be a guest on the show? actually, Steve, you're our guest at maybe, in a month and a half from now, so we have it all booked up. No, and you'll be Bobby, maybe.
I'm a guest. No,
no
not
I know.
This show.
You're always a guest. You're always a guest always in a my guest. Eyes.
I've got – do you remember we had Christopher Gibson from the Church of Light? He did a great show on astrology for us, Hermetic Astrology.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yes.
He's going to be with us in April for my show, talking about tarot.
Oh, really?
Which will be really fun, yeah, because he's got a great knowledge of tarot as well. And he studied Hermetic.
Yeah.
Hermetics and...
So you're getting very... You're evolving as time goes on with your astrology, and I just love... I love the energy as every day... I mean, since you've really taken... you've grabbed it by the... Not horns... By the wheels, by the planet.
His brain is expanding.
It's expanding, and don't you hear it going on each time? I mean, every time.
The wheels are churning.
Well, Mercury's my, Pluto's my most powerful planet, but Mercury's my second most powerful, and it's the most harmonious. So I love to learn.
I know you do. And a lot of things listening, because, you know, it gives me inspiration to go back and start doing my charts in the old-fashioned way, that's how I learned. And that was take Brenda. Remember those took months?
I know. It was quite a challenge, wasn't it?
Yeah, but the learning was really good from it. And
it was.
Jinx went to the...
Someday I'll have to show you one of those old books from the 70s that I kept that tells you how to do all that.
Well, you know, I would love to share. I have a book from the 40s. I would go to, you would just, in fact, Steve, you would probably appreciate
it. I love the period of the 40s. Yes. It was a very interesting time.
There at that time, too. All my clothing, I was always wearing, we think I talked about that. My hats are like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you guys, so I am. I'm old. I don't know, Steve, did you like the 40s outfits, clothing? The clothing, the music, everything about the energy I connected to. Always connected to well. I liked it.
I mean, I find it interesting. I find history interesting generally. I can't say that's my favorite period necessarily.
You don't need to have to tell us anything about it. I'm joking. Was the 70s? That would be like when we were around. We're always making fun. Steve, it's nice to be your age. I think it's lovely to be
when
your age.
What year were you born, Steve? You don't
75.
Mind
75.
Wow, he was. Well, I don't want to date myself, but I graduated a year before you were born. High school.
Graduate 76.
Well, I had.
Wait, no, I take it back. I'm 76, just like you.
I had a client the other day that was 18, and I looked at her date, her year of birth, and I thought, "What? You shouldn't be old enough to speak." And I felt really old.
I was a little toddler when I graduated high school.
But you know what, Brenda? But this is even better. You know, like I go back into a time, even when it was hard for me because I'm self-taught and everything, and it came from a hardcore. I told you guys about it last week, I think. But Steve, it's nice because I'm hearing you talk, and at that age. Or actually before that, about when I was in my right and late 20s and early 30s, I was very eager and learning. When I'm hearing you, it's almost like I'm remembering and reflecting back that I would love to go back and feel, which I can. I just get a little bit more tired and doze off. You know how that goes. But, you know, Steve, that's why I think I like it so much when I'm – it's not that I'm – it's all good intentions of what I'm – how I'm viewing this and when I think about it with you.
It's important to stay sharp.
Yeah, but remember the time period when it was just get your momentum.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic time. I mean, it really is.
We're studying everything. And
I'm still studying more, but I remember that feeling. Like Steve, you got that, you know.
Passion.
It's the passion, yeah. And I still have the passion, but Steve, actually, when I do the show with you, I get even more passion to reconnect with some things.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think
that's why we need you, young whippersnapper that you are.
Whippersnapper.
Whippersnapper.
Snapper, whippersnapper. Steve is a baby.
I enjoy our shows. As I said, I love to learn. I enjoyed the interview because Dr. Gibson's a very knowledgeable man.
Where does he work out of, Steve?
Oh, I think he's in. I think he was in Phoenix. Whether he's still there, I'm not sure. I think he was in Arizona.
Well, dry heat. Arizona spirituals and New Mexico's stomping.
Well, Sedona really opened my eyes. It was amazing.
Oh, that's right. You were just there recently, you know, and I got away from that because I used to go there in the 80s. And then it was commercialized and I stayed away. But when you said you were there, you did a show. You were there when we were on a call. It was a conference call, maybe.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about I would definitely want to go back there now. Definitely. So.
I'd like to visit New Mexico. I'm hoping to go in June to a conference. So.
But you'll love it. You'll fall in love. So yeah, we can take presents and do what we do with presents early.
Well, I heard that Albuquerque's quite a violent city. Is that correct?
My
There's
friend
quite a lot
just
of crime
moved back
there.
Yes, and well, he's very surprised at it.
I guess everything. Well, I just live in a bubble. Nothing. I know everything, baby. So I don't think I haven't been there a long time. Don't Gallup, New Mexico's no place to live. Just Gallup. Raise your Gallup. Oh, never mind. Talk about that later. I guess we're going to say our goodbyes now.
We are. We can wrap up a little early. We'll be back for your show next week, Maureen.
Communication, and I really feel that everybody would really enjoy this show, and they'll be talking about other people's experiences through this theme as well. So topic.
Excellent. So, we'll look forward to it, and that brings us to the end of another fun show. I want to thank Doug for keeping us on track behind the scenes as our executive producer. And thank you to you, Maureen and Brenda, for being here. It was a lot of fun, as always. So I'll say goodbye and hope everyone has a wonderful weekend. And over to you, Maureen, and then Brenda, to say your goodbyes.
Okay, I say so long, farewell. I'm sorry. The Sound of Music, I'm not going to do that one for you. Goodbye, bless your hearts. Good night.
Good evening, everybody.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.